Welcome to Vespers, everyone. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. We're going to be using the red hymnals. So if you didn't get one, those are available on the racks near, both entrances that are along the wall as well on the east end of the dining hall, or the dining hall. This would be the village center. Our service tonight is going to be led by Fred Niedner.
Please be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you have walked with us, fed us, preserved, and forgiven us all through this day. As we come before you now at the close of the day, we gather to rejoice in your love, give thanks for your bounty, and place ourselves for yet another nighttime in your watchful care. Send your Spirit that we might sing and pray in faithfulness, hope, and gratitude. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A reading from Ezekiel, the 17th chapter. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Few things in all creation astound me more continually than the ability of living things to heal. Almost as astounding, obviously, is the sheer number of things that happen to living things that cause them to need to heal. We all have our scars and the stories that go with them, but we have healed. And we are here. And we aren't alone in healing, we two-legged creatures. Neither the oak tree in my front yard back home, nor the young tax attorney in my town, who once totaled his father's Jeep Cherokee on a slick, snowy day in the very week that he got his driver's license and collided with that tree, neither of them bears the scars any longer of that day that found them both with abrasions, tears, splinters, and in the young man's case, especially of his ego. Ezekiel, whose treetop vision we have just now heard again, must have seen some of the same things that I did when I was a kid, only I saw them in western Wyoming, where ranchers went into the mountains and cut down trees of just the right thickness that would make fence posts in their corrals. And every so often, even stripped of all the branches, treated with chemicals and stuck into the ground, one of them would grow, trying very hard to be healed and to become a tree once more. Those who know such things much better than I do tell me that this is not possible for cedars as it is for conifers, that a cedar will not ever grow again if cut off and stuck in the earth. If this impossibility is the secret of Ezekiel's vision, then he's telling us in some way or another that God will do the impossible. And the healing and the renewal that God works isn't something, therefore, that we all have within us, and we could do it ourselves if we just knew the right attitude or the best mantras to use. No, the healing that we receive is a gift of God and a reason for astonishment. But Ezekiel wasn't really worried about trees so much as he was about the community in which he lived. A bunch of folks chopped down, as it were, carted off to a strange place in exile and forcibly replanted. What would become of them? Would they grow again? Would they ever amount to anything of value to themselves or to anyone else? Ezekiel's word of promise is yes. God will see that this chopped off treetop will grow. And moreover, it will be a sign of God's glory, the sort of glory that shows itself chiefly in showing mercy and in bringing about healing and new life. This is what the God of Israel does, the way that God lives out God's unique and holy reputation. Some of us come up here to this mountaintop for something like a vacation, for routine maintenance, as it were, a fix of peace and quiet and a chance to actually think away from the ceaseless buzzing of commercials and all that surrounds us and calls for our attention in the so-called real world. But this setting up here on the mountainside has been a place of much more profound healing and life-giving healing for countless folks who have come up on the boat over the years, broken and beaten, chopped down, self-defeated perhaps, exiled. Some of them were pretty sure that they could heal or be healed, but some weren't so sure. And all of us who have come here very often have witnessed healing up here in this place, even if we ourselves haven't needed much more than rest, revival, and respiriting. We have seen amazing growth. We have seen people find their old selves or discover new selves, and often in ways that allow the broken once again to become givers, givers of shade and fruit bearers, Ezekiel might say, something to give to others. Once when I was here 15 or so years ago for a week, I watched that entire week as a man worked up on the roof of the hotel around that big chimney on the backside. He was putting in new flashings all around. This was before we got the fancy new metal roof up there. And eventually I sat at a meal with that man and asked him how he happened to be here doing that work. And I learned that he was a neurosurgeon, and that he'd been in a terrible accident some time before, and he'd nearly died. He'd been unconscious for a portion of the time after the accident, and he'd lost virtually all of his muscle tone. More recently, he had done months of rehab work and physical therapy, and now he needed to do some kind of activity that would allow him once again to get back the small motor skills in his hands, so that he could once again trust them enough to go back to his work. The work of cutting into people's skulls and brains and spinal cords in hopes that those people might heal. I sometimes wonder what that doctor's patients would think, believing themselves to be on the side of a kind of miracle that that doctor helped to work for them, if they knew that they could give thanks, in part at least, for his skills that came in some way from practicing with the tin shears up on the roof of Holden before they went into that person's spine or head. But not all wounds heal, as Ezekiel himself admits in this prophecy. Some trees dry up. That happens too in God's world. Is there a word of hope for anyone here who might, at least for now, be in that category? Whether healed in our bodies or not, all of us will one day find ourselves chopped down and planted. So even now, as then, our truest hope is in the hands and, yes, in the feet of the young man of Nazareth, chopped down in his prime as he was and planted in a new tomb not far from Golgotha. And as we see over and over again in this New Testament, even risen from the dead, he still today bears the wounds that he received from the Romans and their chainsaws. And in the wounded company, the eternally wounded company of that one, we number ourselves. Together, crucified with Christ, we are together a tree. Whether we are dried up or healthy at any given time is hard to say. But here in this tree tribe known as the body of Christ, whether in life or in death, we are healed and we are whole. And for now, God has planted us here, together. And there's plenty of shade for every kind of bird here. So come and roost. Our shade is free. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord our God, that so often and in so many ways you have healed us and mended our brokenness so that we might serve you and one another in meaningful ways. You have raised us from pits of despair and set us at your table, in your family, among the brothers and sisters of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with all those who yet suffer grievously from various wounds. Heal the injured, the ill, and the broken. Then send us into dark places as messengers of hope. Give us a way as balm for the lonely. In your wisdom, spend our time, our strength, and our many kinds of wealth on the poor, the outcast, and brokenhearted. Watch over us this night, O Lord. Give us rest that we might have energy and new courage for serving in all the places where you will use us tomorrow. For your mercy's sake, we pray. Amen. And now Narnia will sing for us again.
To be one.
May the Lord Almighty bless us and keep our days and our deeds in his peace. Go in peace. Serve the Lord in joyfulness.